Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and my next guest is the founder and president of a group called J Street, which works to promote a liberal way of lobbying on behalf of Israel. Jeremy Ben Ali is horrified that pro-Israel advocacy in this country seems dominated by the Jewish right, even though that hardly represents the thinking of all American Jews on the Arab-Israeli conflict. Jeremy Ben Ali has a new book called A New Voice for Israel, which, among other things, includes a fascinating breakdown of the changing demographics of younger American Jews, and we'll get into that as well as the Middle East. Jeremy Ben Ali, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
And for people who don't know, tell us more about your organization, J Street, and its fundamental mission.
So J Street is a new voice on the American political scene designed to provide a home for pro-Israel, but pro-peace and pro-justice and pro-democracy Jewish Americans who care deeply about Israel, but are really concerned about the future of the state and whether or not it's actually going to make it as a Jewish home and a democracy. So we advocate a two-state solution, and we are trying to change the dynamics of American politics and of the American Jewish community to have a more open and vibrant conversation.
Well, almost everybody advocates a two-state solution under the right circumstances. But usually when we think of lobbying on behalf of Israel, we think of AIPAC, the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, which is obviously a more politically conservative group than your own. But if we accept that you both want Israel's survival and what you see as Israel's best interests, do you differ in your goals for Israel or just in your methods of reaching those goals?
Well, I think it is probably the methods. The goal is the same. I think it's a safe, secure, democratic, just, and primarily a Jewish feeling and values-based home for the Jewish people, and we all want that. It's our belief that that is at risk and that we're actually very, very close to losing Israel as both a Jewish home and a democracy if there isn't a two-state solution. I think the traditional groups are much more of a passive approach to this and willing to sort of accept whatever the government of Israel is doing. We're very critical of this government of Israel, and we think that it's heading Israel in the wrong direction at its own expense and at America's expense.
And is AIPAC the mirror image of that? When more liberal governments were in power of Israel, were they more critical of them?
Well, no. You know, the AIPAC activists would say that they follow whatever it is that the government of Israel is doing. Others might say that AIPAC and other organizations, this isn't just about AIPAC, there's a whole array of organizations that hold these views. So those organizations perhaps didn't provide full support to Yitzhak Rabin when he was pushing for peace, didn't provide support when Israel pulled out of Gaza, didn't provide support for Ehud Barak in his efforts to achieve these kinds of two-state solutions. They were more quiet. Perhaps they weren't outwardly critical, but they didn't provide the lobbying and the support when it was more of a left-of-center government.
And since you, as well as AIPAC, lobby or advocate this country's government, not the Israeli government, do you want different things from America than the conservative groups do?
Well, I think the direction that President Obama has laid out provides a pretty good test of how people look at this. We think that the president, in his speeches and in the vision that he's laying out, two states based on the 1967 lines with swaps to take care of some of the larger settlement areas, that vision is fundamentally correct. That's the basis of which there is going to be a solution, and we support that. Other groups are very concerned about what the president is doing. They're making a big deal. The president may not be supportive of Israel. We actually think the president is unbelievably pro-Israel, and he's actually pointing out the path to help save the future of Israel. So I think it's a big dividing point among the way different groups approach their views.
But some conservative Jews, I think, would hear that and say, well, why does Israel need you lobbying in Washington? You're really advocating for the Palestinian position, not the Israeli one.
Because to favor a Palestinian state and the creation of it on those lines is a fundamentally pro-Israel position. Because Israel isn't going to make it as a Jewish home and as a democracy if we don't give up part of the land.
Is it fair to say that that is even Netanyahu's position, but it's a question of under what circumstances Israel would feel that that was done safely and with dignity?
Well, I mean, security is the most important thing to everybody involved, Israelis, Americans. It's fundamental primal need for security. And that's, I think, what Netanyahu would emphasize first, is are we talking about something that is defensible? And our answer, and the answer of many military experts from Israel, is in fact, yes, that the current situation is indefensible. It's the current situation that poses the greatest risk to Israel's long-term security.
We can take some phone calls for Jeremy Ben Ali, the founder of J Street. Some of you are probably familiar with J Street, this more liberal advocacy organization in the U.S. on behalf of Israel and Israel's interests as J Street sees them. 212-433-WNYC. Call on up, 212-433-9692. As my uncle says, you get five Jews in a room, you'll have six opinions. So maybe now we'll do that. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for Jeremy Ben Ali from J Street, author now of the book, A New Voice for Israel. Jeremy, why is there no Arab equivalent of you? I probably first asked this question on the air 20 years ago as why is there no Arab equivalent of Peace Now, the Israeli peace movement and peace party. So now I'll ask, where is the group Peace Street, Palestinians or Palestinian Americans writing books like yours to say to their leaders, stop being so hardline conservative when it comes to Israel?
Well, I'd say go to the website of the American Task Force on Palestine and you'll find a voice from the Palestinian community. Go to the Arab American Institute, headed by Jim Zoghbi. I do things with Jim all the time, and we advocate a two-state solution together. There are plenty of Palestinian-American, Arab-American voices who are trying to press for a reasonable, rational, moderate compromise, and that really is the only way forward, because otherwise these two peoples are doomed to continue to fight and to continue to suffer.
But hasn't the Israeli left, and I mean the Israeli left, withered precisely because Israelis with liberal tendencies feel a lot more than they did, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, that they don't have a meaningful partner for peace in Palestinian leadership or society?
Well, I think the perception of a lack of a partner is one of the greatest obstacles to actually achieving an agreement. Absolutely no question. The issue really is whether or not that's a correct perception and whether or not that this is that opportunity with President Mahmoud Abbas, with Prime Minister Salam Fayyad. You have two leaders of the Palestinian people who are as committed to a two-state solution as any Palestinian leaders likely are ever to be. And so this is the moment to seize that. And many, many Israeli voices say that it isn't a left-right issue anymore. It's really a question of whether or not there is a sensible, possible path down the middle.
You know, I just got alerted that I've been misstating your name. You should have corrected me. It is not Ben Ali. It is Ben Ami, correct? With an M.
Correct, thank you.
Not an L.
Son of my people in Hebrew, Ben Ami.
Jeremy Ben Ami is my guest, and I apologize. One little typo, two letters right next to the other in the alphabet, but with very different ethnic and religious implications, I guess. So my guest is Jeremy Ben Ami from J Street and author of A Voice for Israel. And Matt in Great Neck, you're on WNYC with Jeremy Ben Ami. Hello.
Yes, hi, Brian. I just wanted to make the point that I am actually, in terms of domestic policy, I am definitely consider myself a liberal progressive. I am a strong supporter of liberal causes here in the United States in terms of domestic policy. However, when it comes to the state of Israel, I feel that the left of this country has become so virulently anti-Israel and, I would add, anti-Semitic in a lot of ways that I really can't find myself supporting, you know, what I would call the left-wing, let's say, you know, policy in terms of the state of Israel, because I feel that it's so one-sided in terms of...
Well, get specific. And, of course, accusing people of anti-Semitism because they have policy differences is always a serious charge and sometimes tenuous. But you want to get specific?
Well, I would say, because let's say if I have fellow, you know, liberal colleagues that... You read the left wing. Unfortunately, you read some of the left wing blogs. You read some of the writings of some of the left, and it's so barely anti-Israel And it just seems like the left wing of this country has become so anti-Israel. So I see, unfortunately, I see J Street as playing a part of that. And so, you know, and I'll end my comment there, but I'll just say that that's why it's very difficult for me to see eye to eye with J Street, because I feel that it aligns itself with some of this virulent left-wing attitudes toward Israel.
Thank you very much.
Right. And I think, you know, J Street actually tries to break this polarity. I think you're actually right that there is a part of the left that crosses a line, and it's no longer supportive of the existence of a state of Israel, no longer supportive of the right of the Jewish people to a home of their own, no longer supportive of their right to exercise force to defend themselves from real threats and enemies. And that is not good. But the right wing also has gone off to an extreme. I think what J Street is trying to do is articulate a middle ground and to say you can be pro-Israel, support its right to exist, recognize that the path it's on is unsustainable, that we can't have the Israel that we want if there isn't a two-state solution, and we need the political space in this country to have that conversation without crossing that line into calling anybody who's critical of policies anti-Israel or anti-Semitic.
Joseph in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Joseph.
Hi, this is a great program, great show. I don't want to use up the time because I know it's limited. It's funny that you made that Freudian slip, Ben Ami. But
I was just consumed with the former dictator of Tunisia. Anyway, go ahead.
It's fine. No, I just, first of all, I think it's important as a comment to mention that J Street is an organization founded by the billionaire George Soros, who's an atheist, Jew, born a Jew, an atheist. It's important to mention that, because why I say that is because the speaker here is talking about the future of the existence, basically, of the land of Israel. The land of Israel basically cannot be separated from the religion. It's anathema to say that. And to say that the future is related to us or depends upon us giving land back to Arabs, as we see the spring that's going on all over the Middle East, the unstable culture, unstable countries along the world. The only country that's standing up, that's stable, that's surviving, that's showing the world that they can withstand being surrounded by hundreds of millions of Arabs.
But then, Joseph, let me ask a question. What would Israel do if it kept all the land that it currently has with those Palestinian Arabs living there?
Great point. There is no good solution. I'm not one to say, well, this guy knows what he's talking about and that guy doesn't know. There is no good solution. But to say, see, I'm coming from a different angle, to say that his J Street solution, the likes of those people, is good. All you have to do is not take my word or anybody's word for it. Look what's happening in Gaza. The poor Jews who entrenched themselves, had families there, who grew up there, were forced by Ariel Sharon, which is interesting, ironic, out of their country, out of their communities. And look what happened.
Even in Gaza, and I'm going to have to leave it there, Joseph, forgive me, because we're going to run out of time. But you hear the basic points that he's making.
Right. And the question of whether or not this is a religious dispute or a national dispute is actually a really important one. You have two nationalities, a Jewish nationality and a Palestinian nationality. They both want to have their national homeland on the same exact piece of territory. And the only way that you can avoid having them kill each other and fight to the death is to figure out a way to split it.
How much do you think, from your perspective, that religion exacerbates the situation? Certainly some of the strongest advocates of keeping the West Bank territories as Judea and Samaria biblically decreed to the Jews. How strong is that position?
Well, I do think it's both sides. I mean, I think you've got religious extremism on both sides. If you think that God gave you the land, then it's going to be very hard for you to compromise. But if you're a nationalist and you want to create a homeland for your people, then you can figure out a way to draw a line that allows you to get along with your neighbors. And that's how you get peace and security for the long term.
All right. I want to take our last few minutes to talk about the changing demographics of American Judaism, which is one of the most interesting parts of your book for me. In the chapter you call the Oi Generation, there are somewhere between 5 million and 6.5 million Jews in the U.S., about the same as in Israel. Is the number of American Jews growing, shrinking, or stable in the last 30 years?
It's pretty stable.
And you cite surveys that show younger Jews talk much less about Israel with their peers than their parents did. A 1983 survey found 75% of American Jews said they talked with friends and relatives often. That was back then. Your group did a recent study and found only 37%, so only half as many of American Jews said they discuss Israel even once or twice a month. What does it mean?
Well, I think the connection makes sense over time, is diminishing. The generation before me, my parents, my grandparents, you know, they experienced the Holocaust. They experienced World War II. They experienced the creation of the State of Israel. The emotional, personal connection to this issue was so much greater. It's no surprise that the people who were born in the 80s or the 90s who don't have any of that personal and direct connection are no longer feeling this issue in the exact same emotional way.
Is it because policy has gone wrong, in your opinion?
No, I actually don't think that's the case. I think it makes sense no matter what. I mean, I think if you look at an immigrant community over the course of generations, that connection is going to become more tenuous. What I do think is the way that the American Jewish community operates, the way that the establishment tries to limit what's acceptable discourse, does drive people away. It does drive young people away from wanting to be engaged on the issue and with their community.
You have 9% of American Jews identifying as Orthodox, but a higher percentage among younger Jews. I think we just heard one of those folks, Joseph in Brooklyn. Do you know the stats?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right, is that the younger generation, Orthodox Jews, just by definition, I mean, this is a demographic fact, not meant to have any value to it, have more kids. So you're going to have more young people who are Orthodox than who are not. And there is a vast difference in politics. There's a vast difference in worldview. There's a vast difference in the views when it comes to Israel between the Orthodox and non-Orthodox.
Do the young Orthodox tend to be AIPAC conservatives, Netanyahu conservatives?
The views are much more conservative in the Orthodox community. It's almost two distinct communities.
And at the same time as there's somewhat of a trend toward Orthodoxy, there's a massive trend toward intermarriage. In the early 70s, a survey found 9% of Jews were intermarried. By 2006, it was 47%. That has many implications. But just for the purposes of this discussion, what are the implications for Israel?
Well, I think one important implication for the community is to make a decision, are we going to be welcoming or not of this trend? And many, many of my friends, obviously if 46% are intermarrying, many of my friends are intermarrying. So many of them want to raise their kids Jewish. And if they're told that somehow they made a mistake or they did something wrong or they're not welcome in the synagogue, it's a terrible message. And it relates to Israel, but it relates to really the entire fabric of the Jewish community in this country. And I think we have to have an open door policy in which we welcome people in and we try to take them where they're at and who they are in order to have a vibrant, strong, and growing community.
The book is called A New Voice for Israel. The Washington-based organization is called J Street. My guest has been the founder and president of J Street and the author of A New Voice for Israel, Jeremy Ben Ami. To mix my languages, thank you, mon ami.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, it is Marshall McLuhan's 100th birthday. Today, we will see how his ideas are still getting it right about the media today, the global village, the medium and the message, hot media and cool media. Does this apply to Twitter? Stay with us.